What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are about two-thirds of the way through the season of Epiphany, and so the Advent ring is now an Epiphany ring after Christmas. And it is a time when we remember the meaning of the word, which is a showing forth. But at this point, after Jesus has revealed himself in different ways, he now is acting in ways that pull people toward him. And as they approach him, they see the glory of who he is. And so hearers at the synagogue say, "What is this? Somebody preaching with authority. Even the unclean spirits obey him. Here is a sign of God's power in a new way among those people of that time." And it is a benefit of ours, it's a privilege of ours through our baptism to partake in these same stories. Here he is speaking to us as well as to them, and we can say, who is this that speaks with such great authority and with power, doing things in our lives? So we might throw these words around in different combinations here and there. What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And it sounds like there's a conspiracy that this man wants to reveal, to expose. What would that conspiracy be? It sounds like he fears whatever it is that Jesus is going to do. Are you here to destroy us? He says. And so some people feel the presence of God is awkward. It's always tinged with judgment, and the way we think about God is primarily as a judge, a white-haired, white-bearded fellow in the clouds. So he is thinking there is some conspiracy, and now God is going to, through Jesus, be able to see how they live, go about their business. But actually, the gospel is a conspiracy, someone has said, to do us good. God is conspiring against our own, in spite of us, to bring about good in our lives, which is a wonderful part of the good news. Well, it could be changed around a little also. Does Jesus know us? He knows Jesus, but does Jesus know him and by extension us? Well, yes, he does. We know there is this, from the Psalms, there is this theme that before we were in the womb, God knew us and fashioned us in our mother's womb. So he knows the number of the hairs upon our head. He is closer to us than the air we breathe. He knows the number of cells in our bodies. He knows us intimately, and he calls us, just as he knew. Remember several weeks ago, he saw Nathanael sitting under a tree, and he called him to follow him, and Nathanael says, "How did you know me? I haven't met you before." And I said, "I saw you when you were under the tree." So he knows us, and he calls us, as he did Nathanael, into his service. So Christian faith is not so much a thing that goes on in our heads, or in our hearts, even. It should be in both. But it's, in Jesus' examples, it's always with some action. It's always with something being done for our sake. And so Jesus is teaching and rebuking the Pharisees. He is healing the lepers. He is calling people to just come follow him, and they do. They actually do. So Jesus is doing things by action, and he asks us to be part of that mission, and we do things. And so this parish has a wonderful legacy of outreach, but it's through doing things that we learn who Jesus is, that we draw near to him. So let us be mindful on this Sunday of the annual meeting that we are not just loyal members of the church, we are those who are in the mission of the church, following Jesus as he shows us to do, as we have opportunity to do. So what is Jesus like? Does he know himself? That's another way we can put the words around. The demoniac knows him, but does Jesus know himself? And sometimes we think of Jesus as a teacher, they're primarily a teacher, you know, but if we stop at that point, we would be doing injustice to who Jesus was. C.S. Lewis says that if he said he was the Son of God, as he does, but he wasn't, then he would be a charlatan, he would be deluded, self-deluded, and not worthy of being worshipped or followed. So we see in Jesus this proclamation of who he is, and it's a challenge to us to say, yes, that's him, he is the Son of God. And yet we hear God saying that to Jesus in his baptism, and that later on in this gospel. So Jesus knew who he was the Son of God. And what he did with authority. The authority was from the Father. So we need to pick up this idea of not worshiping God with our heads or even our hearts, as important as that is, but in action by following him in one way or another. So where do we understand Jesus to be in our lives today? He is glimpsed when we receive Holy Communion. This is the only place where people as strange and different as all of you sitting in those pews can be, and yet we're here together. Somebody said that the church, William Temple said, the church is the only institution that exists for those who aren't members of it. That's interesting. So we are here to be a place of welcome and love, and a place where we call ourselves to account in the confession, and where the burdens of life are lifted off of our shoulders in the absolution, where we are strengthened with bread and wine. Somebody was telling us what Holy Communion was like, really. And he said and it was around Christmas time, and he says, I think that it's like the popcorn that is threaded for the Christmas tree, and you put one on and then another, and maybe you put a cranberry in between the popcorn. And he says, it's like that for me when I see everyone at the altar rail or standing as we do it here, receiving Holy Communion. It's like we're all being linked together in some wonderful, loving way. So we gather together, we are doing things by being with Christ precisely so that we can do more things having been with him as we leave this place. The annual meeting is a wonderful time to consider how we might be involved in the mission of Christ Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.